This is Jordan Seculo. Obama's intelligence directors are testifying right now on Capitol Hill about the alleged Russian hacking during the U.S. election.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We cannot say, they did not change any vote tallies or anything of that sort.
Yeah, I'm just talking
We have no way of gauging the impact that, certainly the intelligence community can't gauge the impact it had on choices the electorate made. There's no way for us to gauge that.
The Russians are the peer competitor to us, but I look at other nations. You look at China, for example, and the level of capability and investment they're making. I'm watching their abilities rise significantly. Iran, North Korea, currently at a moderate level, but clearly the level of investment, the capability we're seeing, and their willingness to employ cyber in some very aggressive ways that would be way beyond our normal risk calculus is of concern.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Mr. Netanyahu has apparently told his diplomats that their focus in the next couple of weeks should be to do everything they can to prevent the substance of Mr. Kerry's speech coming before the UN in a resolution form. And the fear, apparently, is that at this French conference, it might be codified in some way that could then be presented to the UN, not by the United States, but perhaps by others. I know that Mr. Kerry has said there's going to be no more UN activity, but would the US rule out another abstention, especially if it was his policies that was being voted on?
I don't think it'd be helpful for me to speculate one way or the other about potential future actions.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So as I speak to you, the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, is testifying before a Senate committee on the alleged, Russian hacking during the U.S. elections. What's been clear so far from this testimony is that there is no final report, that final report will be made available next week. Which leads me to believe that there's not a lot of evidence there. Second, what's also clear is that it had nothing to do with the tampering with votes. They were talking more about, you know, fake news and possibly that DNC server, though Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, I mean, you don't take everything he says at his word. Obviously, he said it was absolutely not the Russians involved in the DNC leak of the emails. But when it goes to that, let me just point out what I believe is one of the most important news stories in all of this, because you've got a lot of intelligence officials who are just perturbed at how Donald Trump has treated them and implied that they have failed. We've talked a lot about how they failed when it comes to preventing terror. We've talked about how the FBI has failed when it comes to its true investigations, like the Clinton scandal, where it was up and down. It was just bad for both sides, honestly. I mean, it was just so disturbing how poor that FBI investigation was. And we weren't shocked by it because we had to deal with the FBI during its when we sued the Obama administration over the targeting by the IRS over the Tea Party group. So the FBI was investigating that. And again, you could see kind of just a level of incompetence or an inability to act at these agencies. So we know there's problems. And what we're seeing today is even underscores that. So understand this. The FBI never even asked to review the DNC servers. So the FBI, nor any federal government agency, has actually analyzed or looked at, nor did they even ask to look at, the servers from the DNC that were allegedly hacked by the Russians to influence the U.S. election. Understand the importance of that. They're letting a third-party group make the report. So we're supposed to have this great FBI and great cyber counter-terror and cybersecurity forces in our military, and then all these different federal agencies, the FBI, and they don't even ask to look at the servers to verify and do their own independent analysis. It is incompetence, and it puts a big asterisk on anything that they say and everything that they ultimately release about this hacking. I want to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110, because I believe this ties into the greater strategy by the Obama administration. Remember, these are Obama officials testifying today to undermine Donald Trump. So you've got policy decisions to make it a tough 100 days, and then you've got these kind of optics that try to undermine the beginning of the Trump presidency. I want to take your calls about it, 1-800-684-3110. There's also a lot to talk to when it comes to Israel. A new report, one pastor released in Sudan who is facing the death penalty. Another remains in prison. We'll get to that as well on the broadcast. We'll talk to you. Go to aclj.org. Stay updated. We'll be back.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live, we're following closely this Senate Armed Services Committee hearing on the Russian alleged hacking. The Director of National Intelligence, Jim Clapper, is testifying right now as we're on the air. Let's just go to it. Let's get a glimpse of a feel for what this sounds like and what it looks like for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope.
You know, we can't. There's not room for improvement. I never suggest that.
I appreciate that, and I certainly agree with you. I think that if there's going to be this kind of major reform, hopefully both legislators and others who have been engaged in the intelligence community will be part of that effort. Thank you.
I certainly agree the Congress, no pun intended, gets a vote here, I think.
Thank you.
I know that our time's expired, and I...
So again, this is the end of kind of this hearing. I think what we saw from this, folks, honestly, what you saw there at the end of that discussion, Than, that's leads into actually some more news that Donald Trump wants to see a real revamp of our intelligence agencies. And people, he's got great nominees, Congressman Mike Pompeo to lead the CIA. And, of course, we'll have to see how things shake out with Jim Comey at the FBI because he's got that appointment. They could kind of push him out or try to push him out because his boss will be Attorney General Jeff Sessions after his hearings next week, which we'll get into more as those come closer. But then there's this idea, I think, of the intelligence agency. They're mad at the Trump world for criticizing them. And yet it seems like when it comes to preventing attacks in the U.S., they have not done a great job. They refuse to acknowledge who our enemy is the Islamic terror that inspires it. And on the other hand, when it's come to domestic matters, even the IRS cases and all of those, the Clinton email investigation, and now this Russian hacking, again, you see incompetence at every level. And so the criticism, I mean, yes, they do perform an important service to our country, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't gotten to a point where it's so bureaucratic and maybe left-leaning that it just needs to be reformed.
Well, to be honest with you, Jordan, that was my biggest takeaway of the entire hearing, is that there is really very little new information here. I mean, yes, there is some additional indication of Russian activity, but Jordan, it's right in line with what Russia has been doing for years and years. I mean, election cycle after election cycle, and it's the exact type of thing that Mitt Romney brought up in the debate and President Obama mocked him for. So it's only after his party loses the White House that suddenly he decides to take action. And to your underlying point, Donald Trump has recognized that this is an issue he's going to have to take on, and he has given us some indication of the tactics that he would like to use going forward. what President Obama has done by moving forward with these sanctions is actually tie his hands, or at least attempt to tie his hands, of trying a different tactic. So I don't think anybody in this hearing or otherwise has indicated that there's not a threat to deal with. But Jordan, the intelligence community has given us almost nothing new. Russia continues to behave as Russia has always behaved under Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, let's listen to this. Is Senator Tom Cotton earlier today. He is a Republican. He was asking Director Clapper of National Intelligence exactly about the ability of the intelligence agencies to comprehend influencing of elections, because ultimately that's the outcome that the Democrats, especially the Obama administration, is trying to push here. Take a listen to this, Byte 11.
Director Clapper, you said to Senator McCain earlier, quote, the intelligence community cannot gauge the impact, end quote, on the election. Is that because that kind of electoral analysis is not a task that's within the traditional responsibility and skill sets of intelligence services?
That's correct.
So, Than, to me, this just says they are not competent to be making these assertions or these claims about Russia's influence in our elections. If they wanted to do a report on how much cyber attack is going on from the Russian government into the U.S., which, I imagine there's lots of that going on, so I'm not defending Russia here. If they want to do a report on that, Russian cyber attacks, state-sponsored cyber attacks on the United States and various agencies, that's one thing. But they are not competent, admittedly, by the Director of National Intelligence today, by President Obama's Director of National Intelligence, they admit that they cannot make the assertions or claims about the effects this could or could not have had, if it even exists at all, on our election system.
Exactly correct. They say they cannot engage the impact. And yet, Jordan, what was every single headline when the president announced these sanctions? It was that Russia had engaged to impact the elections in the United States. Factually incorrect. And in fact, the activities that Russia had been engaging on, a huge majority of them, Jordan, started before the election. Yes, some of them, of course, continued through the election. I mean, they're always happening. But the bottom line is, the president and these intelligence agencies had the vast majority of this information well before the election cycle was even in gear and never took action. So you can call it incompetence, you can call it indifference, but one way or another, it all speaks to a political motivation for the timing of moving forward on these sanctions.
Yeah, I mean, Barbara on Facebook is concerned that the Russians did influence the election. Now, she didn't speak more about how she thought they could. I mean, I don't doubt that other governments attempt to influence elections around the world. Our government does it as well. It's one thing, though, to then sanction those governments and make claims that they were illegally doing so, putting out their own news stories, whether they're real or fake. And a lot of times in this media market, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder, if you will, and who the source is that ultimately we do this as well through our intelligence services trying to influence things. It would be absurd. So it's whether or not it rises to the level of being criminal in nature or violating, you know, even an act of war, if you will, and putting those sanctions on Russia, sending out 35 Russian diplomats, expelling those, that would tend to make people believe. So it's President Obama creating a narrative, maybe a fake news story himself, that the Russians were directly involved in trying to actually impact our voting in the United States, while at the same time, his Director of National Intelligence is telling Congress in a hearing right now that they can't make that assessment because they don't have the qualifications necessary to make an assessment in the intelligence community about the impact things can have on an election. That's them in their own words. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Robert in Maryland online too. Robert, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yeah, hello, Jordan. Hello, Than. I wanted to ask the question on the alleged Russian hacking situation that people are saying allegedly took place during the election cycle. Are they saying that if it's definitely proven that the Russians were engaged in hacking, in specifically of our U.S. elections for the presidential campaign, that the Russians specifically were pushing and promoting for Donald Trump to win? Is that what they're saying, if it's definitely proven that the Russians are guilty of the hacking during the election?
That so far has been the narrative, is that, now I want to make clear, Robert, you know, for everybody who's listening right now, when they say election, And there still have we have not seen any evidence that Russia, the government of Russia, did this. But when they say election, they mean like the DNC hacking. They do not. They have made very clear that there were no attempts by Russia to hack or any other foreign government that they've made public to hack our actual election voting system. So our voting integrity is good. They're talking about influencing through other things, that, you know, information being released, emails being leaked out or hacked and then released publicly that would not have been on their own accord. But then the truth is that that is part of the narrative. Is it, see, it was the DNC that was hit with this attack. And so it must have been because the Russians or and that's who they say did that. And by the way, let me make clear once again that the FBI never asked, never analyzed the servers from the DNC. They are relying on a third-party report about the hack into the DNC servers. Our government, not the FBI, nor any other intelligence agencies, inside or law enforcement agencies, as part of the U.S. government, have actually analyzed these servers, the actual equipment that is alleged to have been hacked by Russia. They never even asked for it. But Than, the whole idea here is that, see, they went after the DNC because they wanted to help Donald Trump.
Well, there's so many layers here, Jordan. I mean, first of all, there were also attempts to target Republicans. It is that they were just less successful than the Democrat efforts. So I think maybe some of the blame there lies on the side of the Democrat Party for not securing their apparatus. But second of all, Jordan, remember, one of the narratives after this election was that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. So if you're looking for an impact on the election, even though there's no proof there, you would think that the popular vote would have shifted as well. That did not happen. And finally, I'll just remind folks, we have long been pointing to this threat from Russia. Your dad wrote a book about it called Unholy Alliance. Of course, Russia is trying to engage. But the bottom line is our intelligence communities can't come out and claim that the U.S. election was undermined and give Vladimir Putin more credit than he deserves, Jordan, without backing it up with proof. And today, we saw zero proof.
And trying to undermine a conservative, I mean, I'm holding my hands, Unholy Alliance. We have an office in Russia. We have worked, and we've worked there for a long time for religious liberty and religious freedom, right in Moscow. And there's some things that have been good, some have been bad. But on the global scale, we've been very clear about Russia. We, you know, an unholy alliance. We talk about the agenda: Iran, Russia, and jihadists here for conquering the world. So don't act as if we are trying to be the defenders of Russia. It's just the defenders of truth, and fact, and evidence, and the just disgusting display of government incompetence at the intelligence agencies. They deserve the criticism and the blame. They didn't even ask to look at these DNC servers. They let a third-party company do it. I want to tell you, there's a victory, but also one that we still face another issue. That's in Sudan. One Sudanese pastor who was facing death was released. He was released in Sudan in the court, but another pastor, Pastor Hassan, still faces a possible death sentence. I'll get into that a little bit more when we come back from the break. But one pastor released, one still facing the death sentence. We'll come back. We'll get your information. ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We also take your comments because we're not just broadcasting on your local radio stations or on SiriusXM, but we're also broadcasting through Facebook and Periscope, and those folks actually see us in the studio. They're getting the video of both me and Than Bennett, who's in our Washington, D.C. studio, as we go through the motions. Even during the breaks, they get to see discussions that we have, so kind of a unique way, even if you're not usually able to listen to the radio broadcast that way. I'd encourage you to check it out one day, maybe when you are, just to see some behind the scenes as well of how we are preparing for each segment and the discussions that go on. We also sometimes have special video for everybody. Some updates. Got into it a little bit more during the break for our Facebook and Periscope audience, but I do want to let people know that it's a critical update out of Sudan. Two of the pastors that we represent there, Pastor Kua, was released. Now, these were both pastors facing the death penalty, but his colleague, Pastor Hassan, still faces the possible death sentence. So we have, in one side, a victory to celebrate, but oftentimes in these cases of extreme persecution, it's not over, you know, especially you've got two individuals, until you really know things have been dropped. So what happened in this case, interesting, I think, for the audience to know, is that the prosecution presented its evidence against these pastors, and the judge was then given the opportunity to drop the charges or proceed with the next stage of the trial, which would be the defense presenting its evidence against the prosecution's evidence. And he did decide, this judge, to drop the charges against one of the pastors, Pastor Kua, but not Pastor Hassan, who we believe was taking a more active role during their arrest in the presentation of Christian information in Sudan, and that is why they're facing the death sentence. So his trial, Pastor Kua has been released, but the pastor Hassan will still face the death sentence in his trial, which will continue next week when his defense attorneys in Sudan present that evidence. So be in prayer for those pastors in Sudan. Also, Pastor Andrew Brunson in prison, an American pastor in prison in Turkey, facing the charge of being a member of an armed terrorist group. It's a completely bogus charge, but unfortunately, some news out of Turkey, another terror attack there in Izmir. This is where he's being imprisoned in Turkey. There was a car bomb outside of a courthouse. This may very well have been the courthouse that he was just in trial again last week, because he was challenging whether his arrest and imprisonment was valid. He lost that first case that can be on appeal. So continue to pray for Pastor Brunson and his family. Let's get back to some phone calls and information on the Russian issue. In the second half of the show, we're going to get more into Israel as well. A lot there moving forward at the United States Senate, the United States House, and overseas, another resolution that could be coming, and the U.S. government being very coy about that. Let's get to the phones. Let's go to Raj in Virginia on line three. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you.
Thanks, Raj.
Jordan and Sam, you've done a wonderful job, and especially about the DNC servers. You pointed out that it may be just incompetence. I think it's beyond that. I think there's been a concerted effort to separate themselves from it. No accountability, no traceability, so that they can say we had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But you might like to comment on that, but I would like to say that this is very, very important. The American people need to know and need to hold those accountable, even those who's planted all this fake news here and there.
Sure. I mean, that's the thing, Raj. I agree that, you know, if you got real information, share it with the American people. But don't always try to politicize it. We know as a country that is a superpower, the superpower in the world, other countries would like to influence who our president is sometimes and our elections and maybe cause a little disruption as well. A lot of times I think it's that more than the outcome of who actually the president is, but they like to cause disruption and kind of, I'd say, make people question our election system. But yet it was remember the criticism Donald Trump received when he talked about a potentially rigged election. And then it was the Democrats saying it's a rigged election. But take a listen very carefully. The director of national intelligence, Clapper, speaking today on Capitol Hill to the U.S. Senate, testifying under oath about change in vote tallies. I think that's the important part here. Did this change anything? And really, what he says is, I got no information because I can't even gauge that because I'm not the person who should be doing that. So, again, not saying incompetent as an intelligence agent, but not competent for this investigation. Check it out by four.
We cannot say they did not change any vote tallies or anything of that sort.
Yeah, I'm just talking.
We have no way of gauging the impact that certainly the intelligence community can't gauge the impact it had on choices the electorate made. There's no way for us to gauge that.
I mean, Than, they're talking about whether or not this could have affected how people voted. I mean, if it was so widespread. If the scale of this was so widespread that they believe really that people's votes may have changed or not changed based off this, I mean, when in truth it was the FBI itself who probably helped Donald Trump more than anything by re-releasing and reopening investigation into Hillary Clinton. I mean, that was not part of the Russia hacking. That was government incompetence, again, by closing investigation too early, reopening it, and then closing it again. I mean, those are the issues I think you could point to that say maybe would have influenced how people voted or turnout numbers. But I mean, some DNC emails, I'm just not sure that rises to the level where the Director of National Intelligence should even consider that, especially an election like the one we had, how much that would have swayed people. I mean, at least he's admitting that he had no way of actually gauging that.
Jordan, it's because they started with their preferred narrative that Russia had intervened in the U.S. elections and then looked for evidence that they could fit into that narrative. They started backwards. I mean, it's pretty clear they did. By the way, if they hadn't, remember, this is the same administration that when the intelligence community said there is clear evidence of multiple attempts by a foreign entity on the same day to access Hillary Clinton's State Department servers that she kept housed in her house. The president and the intelligence community said, never mind, no big deal. If there was really a genuine concern that Russia was trying to intervene and get state secrets or intervene in our election, that would have been the moment to engage. The administration chose not to. They chose to look the other way. And then after the election, when they lost the White House, they chose their narrative. They chose to undermine the next president and his attempts to sort of reset the Russian relationship and then made the facts fit their narrative.
Yeah, we're supposed to get this big report next week, but take a listen. The senator asked Director Clapper very clearly, are we going to get any motivation here that links to Vladimir Putin directly, Byte 22?
General, do you think in the report next week that you all will ascribe a motivation to Putin for the election attempt?
Yes, we will ascribe a motivation. I'd rather not, again, preempt the report.
Understood.
I mean, Than, we're going into 50 seconds. We can talk about more. We've got in our second half hour of the broadcast. To me, it just underscores they weren't even ready to do this hearing. It's been delay, delay, delay when it comes to this report. Now, they still have the time. It's not that they've missed their actual deadline for the report, but they keep telling people it's coming and then pulling back. And to me, that's a sign of a weak evidence for the outcome that you want, for your thesis, if you will, for the theory that you have of the case. And so they keep having to push this back to build more and more evidence to that will look at how they want us to see the Russian involvement. So again, we'll get into that. If you don't get the second half hour of the broadcast, let me encourage you, check it out. We're broadcast on Facebook and Periscope and at ACLJ.org and on Sirius XM. And we're going to get into some more with Israel as well and continue this Russia discussion, but a lot with Israel. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-877-877. 989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow. I'm holding in my hand for our Facebook and Periscope audience the Senate resolution. I'll read to you just the top. Objecting to the United Nations Security Council Resolution 2334 and to all efforts that undermine direct negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians for a secure and peaceful settlement. In the Senate, 10 Democrats, very high-ranking Democrats, have already signed on to this, including the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, Chuck Schumer. The people like Senator Rubio are kind of spearheading this for Republicans. Now, it's an important condemnation of what the Obama administration did, but there's a warning within this resolution that I believe is very important. So as part of Senator Rubio's resolution, the U.S. Senate is demanding that the U.S. ensure that no action is taken at the Paris Peace Middle East Peace Conference on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and that is something the State Department is refusing to rule out. Let's play the sound for everybody. In a long question, the State Department spokesperson, John Kirby, is asked, coming from this peace conference, could there be more action at the UN Security Council? This is all before January 20th, folks. More action, and we talked about that action yesterday, at the Security Council that the U.S. would either abstain from or even support. Take a listen by 20.
Mr. Netanyahu has apparently told his diplomats that their focus in the next couple of weeks should be to do everything they can to prevent the substance of Mr. Kerry's speech coming before the UN in a resolution form. And the fear, apparently, is that at this French conference, it might be codified in some way that could then be presented to the UN, not by the United States, but perhaps by others. I know that Mr. Kerry has said there's going to be no more UN activity, but would the US rule out another abstention, especially if it was his policies that was being voted on?
I don't think it'd be helpful for me to speculate one way or the other about potential future actions.
Again, he will not say no. Now, some are just saying they just want a clear answer from this administration that they're done meddling with the Middle East politics in light of the Trump administration coming into power very soon, on January 20th. At the same time, that non-answer is disturbing in light of what we went through yesterday. This is what the Israelis are very concerned about, and Prime Minister Netanyahu, is that out of the peace conference, another Security Council resolution will be put forward that the U.S. would abstain from, that would, one, set the parameters of a future Palestinian state, so the actual borders, and a clear timeline, so a must-follow timeline for negotiations, an infrastructure to enforce the previous resolution, 2334, the one the U.S. Senate and House are condemning on the anti-Israel resolution, so an infrastructure. And what does that mean exactly? Does that mean putting peacekeepers? That mean bureaucrats on the ground, even sanctions, binding guidelines geared towards bypassing and boxing in the incoming Trump administration, and even civilian inspectors in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, as well as East Jerusalem. All of this, folks, again, could be coming forward before Donald Trump takes the oath of office. And there is a lot of concern in Israel. We're also hearing reports, Than, that the State Department will not, as they're going through the transition, are actively working to thwart Trump's plans on any pro-Israel policies. And these are the reports coming out right now as we speak. So not only are they continuing forward with their agenda until the final days to damage Israel, they're also not doing their role to help the Trump transition.
Well, Jordan, I think it's right in line with what Admiral Kirby promised us, that Secretary Kerry would continue to engage on this right down to the very end. Listen, I think all indications that it is going to come through the Paris Peace Conference, because, Jordan, if it weren't going to come through the Paris Peace Conference, they have every incentive to tell us this so that they stop getting asked this question. If they're not planning to proceed there, they would be telling us this. And by the way, Ambassador Power also said this: other nations will follow us if we continue to lead. And, Jordan, That's exactly the problem. The U.S. is leading. They're just leading away from Israel. And guess what? At this moment, the world is following them.
So we're going to continue. We'll get into Israel. We're also going to go back to, I know a lot of people want to talk about what's happened today at these hearings about the Russian involvement in the U.S. election, the alleged involvement. So we're going to get to that as well and kind of go back through that discussion. If you want to talk to us on air, the number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope as well. We're monitoring those. But again, we got a couple lines open. So for those of you who want to join the broadcast, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org as well. Stay updated on all of these issues. We'll be right back.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The Russian discussion, I did want to update everybody on that situation with Israel and that resolution and that concern we have. We've also got, Than, let's do a preview of next week. I want to do this each day of the week this week, but next week we do have confirmation battles beginning. Then we're going to get back into our Russian discussion. But next week, confirmation battles begin for Ben Carson and Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, those are the two we'll be watching most closely, Jordan. Ben Carson kicks off on Monday, and then Senator Jeff Sessions will have his hearings at the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday and Wednesday. Jordan, the other thing to watch next week is the Obamacare repeal effort, which is going to be many stages. We don't have to get into all of it. But the first real key vote, there was a vote yesterday on a motion to proceed that is, but the first key vote on that Obamacare repeal is going to be mid to late week in the United States Senate next week, which will set up the reconciliation process, which allows for that 51 vote threshold. So keep an eye on Dr. Ben Carson's confirmation, Attorney General Jeff Sessions' confirmation, and then also that first key Obamacare repeal vote.
All right, let me get right to the phones. A lot of calls coming in about Russia as well. And let me start with those who've been holding on to speak to us because they've held on through the discussion on Israel that I wanted to update everybody on. Bill called in from Georgia on line one. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Bill.
I think everybody is missing the logical conclusion about this Russian hacking influencing the election, et cetera, et cetera. If you think about what the left narrative is, that Russia hacked and influenced the election and all that sort of stuff to undermine Trump's presidency. Yeah. Well, anytime you're dealing with the left, logic is out the window anyway, but besides that fact, they never said what the Russians actually hacked. They just said they influenced and it led to believe it's the WikiLeaks and all that sort of stuff.
Right, it's the Podesta emails, the DNC emails. So that's what we're – Gmail accounts and the DNC, so not anything governmental. Private email accounts through Gmail, which are not the most secure, and the DNC servers supposedly, though, Bill – the U.S. government has admitted that none of its agencies and law enforcement agencies have actually analyzed those servers themselves.
Right. So if you look at if you draw it out to the logical conclusion, then they've never said that these emails are false. Anything in it is false.
No. These were the real deal. I mean, they should not have been released. I mean, I don't encourage hacking. I don't encourage leaking. That's not good. And it means you've got problems within your organization or problems within your security of your systems. But no one has alleged any of this information was wrong or inaccurate.
Correct. So the whole premise of it is this election was everybody had the truth.
Well, that's the interesting part, is that people got more than they usually would get from the behind-the-scenes political world, specifically when it came to the DNC. I honestly believe it was a lot of people upset with Hillary Clinton and inside these apparatuses that were more pro-Sanders, that were more leftist and liberal, who were probably the cause of a lot of that information being released. But also the fact that John Podesta's own password for his email account was password doesn't exactly, and again, this, using his private emails, you have to assume this day and age this kind of information may come forward. But the truth is, I think it's they don't want to believe that the American people actually wanted Donald Trump to be president. So they're trying to come up with various reasons why he did become president. And instead of just saying, it's because Hillary Clinton had a bad campaign and wasn't able to focus on the right states and the Democrat message from Obama did not carry over to Clinton. People were kind of sick and tired of that. And so bring in Harry Hutchinson from our policy team. I mean, Harry, the policy part of this, which is what the senators keep asking these intelligence officials about, and they say, we're not qualified to even answer questions about the influence that this could have on the election.
Absolutely. And so I think it's important to put several things on the table. First, the DNC is simply a private, non-profit company.
Right.
And so to the extent that the DNC was hacked, even assuming for purposes of argument that it was hacked by Russia, that does not mean interference with the U.S. election.
Right.
No tallies were changed.
No.
The Russian hacking issue underscores something that's fundamental, and that is the DNC's own incompetence, which accompanied the incompetence of the Hillary Clinton campaign. The Russians didn't force Hillary Clinton to avoid Wisconsin or Michigan. There's no evidence.
Or call people deplorable.
Exactly.
Publicly. It's not like she was doing that in private emails. She was doing that publicly.
Absolutely. And so Hillary Clinton ran an immensely incompetent campaign. That is not down to the Russians. It's down to the Democratic Party and its apparatus.
Yep. Let me take a call. I appreciate this one from Joy in Alabama. I know people have asked about this on Facebook and Periscope. Joy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to ask a question, and I'll hang up and listen, and I also wanted to make a comment. First of all, the question is, we want to know how your grandfather is doing, and also, I wanted to let you know that those of us that, particularly myself, I watch you on Facebook, I enjoy the interaction between whoever's behind the mics.
Yep.
At whatever location, being able to listen to the conversation, because a lot of that is... It's better than any commercial you could listen to, and a lot of times it gets in a little bit more depth off the air.
A little bit different pace, and so you're getting kind of like the final thoughts and back and forth, and also the prep. I appreciate that, Joy, and I think it's why you are a testament to those who maybe not always are able to be at a computer or on their phone to view that the way we broadcast on Facebook and Periscope. But if they are ever able to, and they're regular radio listeners, they should certainly check it out. It's a cool way to interact. And I appreciate you not just interacting that way, but also calling in. And let me just answer the question about my grandfather. He's out of surgery. It was a long surgery yesterday, a heart surgery, and he's in his 80s. Again, it's why my dad is not in the studio today. He's out of the surgery. It was a complicated one, so he's not out of the woods as you speak yet. But again, I would appreciate your prayers. It would look like it would be a pretty long recovery process. So appreciate your prayers for my grandfather, which is it's my dad's father, and for him specifically, and for the family as well. For a quick recovery as possible in this kind of serious surgery. So I appreciate that, Joy, and appreciate hearing from you. Let's grab another phone call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Tom in Utah. Tom, I know I used a little bit of your commentary on the Podesta emails, but I wanted to get you on the air.
You say Tom?
Yep, you're on the air, Tom.
Oh, my name's Cal.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Jordan, you answered the DNC Podesta thing. I was going to talk about exactly what I said. But another question I had was, what do you think about all this UN stuff and then Obama pulling a carrier back?
Obama pulling a carrier back?
Yeah, one of our carriers.
Talking about just the forward policy side. I think that this administration... I hear carrier, I'm thinking carrier, the manufacturer, yes. an aircraft carrier. Listen, I think it's an administration taking unprecedented foreign policy moves in its final days. Rather than kind of keeping the status quo for the next administration, like their ideas or not, this administration is taking pretty bold steps. I mean, up until the final days, they're going to issue a report on what they are going to try to allege, I guarantee you, is that the Russians are the reason Donald Trump won the election. That is how this report will try to be interpreted by the left. I mean, Than, so whether it's foreign policy decisions, even though the president has this power, it just seems not right for him to be making decisions this late in the game that will affect not just his presidency now, but Donald Trump is going to have to deal with every single one of them.
Jordan, on both the point of Russia and Israel, President Obama had 8 years to determine his foreign policy. And quite frankly, on Vladimir Putin and Russia, he chose his foreign policy. And that was that Russia does not pose a threat, because he spent 8 years, Jordan, implementing that promise. And then just days before the new president took over, and has the right, by the way, to implement his own foreign policy preferences, he decided to do an about face. So, you know, I don't think you can look at the entirety of the Obama administration on this point without coming to any conclusion other than that this last-minute pivot had more to do with Donald Trump than it did to do with how he perceives the Russian threat.
All right, folks, we've got another segment coming up, and in this segment, we really focus on getting through as many phone calls as possible. So the discussion, whether you have questions about Israel, this resolution at the Senate, questions about Russia and the hearings today on the alleged Russian hacking during the U.S. elections and their impact on those elections. We want to take your phone calls. There's one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Taking your phone calls and your comments as well on Jay Sekulow Live. That's 1-800-684-3110. A great way to stay up to date on all of these issues. Of course, ACLJ.org. We've got great pieces that post there regularly. And when we're not on the air, we keep things updated, the news updated. My Twitter account, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. You can follow me there as well. That's twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Of course, we all have our Facebook pages. It's a great way to stay up to date with what the ACLJ is working on, even when we are not on the air. And of course, we can't get to every case and issue in the hour that we broadcast each day. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel, slash its borders, leave it defenseless, and force our greatest ally in the Middle East to make dangerous concessions to terrorists before negotiations even begin. Palestinian terrorists have launched over 300 attacks on Israelis. We must not force Israel into talks with terrorists. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're mobilizing our office in Jerusalem. We're preparing critical legal letters, documents, and filings at the UN, in Congress, and with the Obama administration. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In this segment of the broadcast, we get to as many phone calls as we can, analyzing the issues we've discussed and focused on today's broadcast. Main two have been the hearings on the alleged Russian involvement in the U.S. election process via fake news and hacking of servers. And by the way, the intelligence communities have made clear none of them are alleging that the Russians actually, if you take them at their word, none of them are alleging that the Russians actually tried to or did hack the actual voting apparatuses, so affected actual vote outcomes. What they are saying is trying to influence, and I think that that's very careful. We have to be very careful about that as well, because I know that the U.S. government does that in elections all over the world regularly, all the time. Yes, there's a line that shouldn't be crossed, and we're not defending Russia here, but the fact is that those DNC emails, while certainly not helpful for a Democrat campaign, the way that the media was on the side of Hillary Clinton, I mean, you could barely even get the information about those. They were saying that basically it shouldn't be out there, that they shouldn't even be writing about it because it was hacked. And so they focused all their time on Donald Trump and attacking Donald Trump. And it seemed like they had the great apparatus to run against him, and it didn't work. Let's get to some phone calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Wayne's been holding on from Pennsylvania, online 5. Wayne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. My thoughts were actually mostly covered by Bill, and that kind of boils down to, so the DNC didn't like all these emails being posted, but this is the truth. What do they say is false? And that's probably the same reason they won't drill down into that, why they didn't want anything investigated by the FBI or the servers involved, because they don't want the truth to come out.
Well, I think that there is some to speak of. I mean, working in the political world, which I've done on a number of campaigns at the presidential level, is that the DNC, one of the reasons they may not have pulled in the FBI so closely is that they may have seen wrongdoing. Like, for instance, Donna Brazile giving debate questions over to the Clinton campaign while she was working at CNN. So she got debate questions early and gave them over to the Clinton campaign, provided those. We know that because of those hacked emails. So did they want the FBI to really investigate? I mean, Harry, the truth is that it doesn't look like these political parties want the true transparency of the investigation, and our government has no indication that they are going to make all these claims in a report. I can guarantee right now it's going to be, whether it reads very blah and boring or not, the media will use it as this smoking gun about Russia again, because President Obama's already taken those actions. And the truth is, I keep harping on this, but it's so important for people to know, our intelligence agencies have never reviewed the hardware in this situation. They've reviewed no servers. They have not even asked to review the servers that they believe the Russians hacked. And to me, that delegitimizes anything that is in their report.
Absolutely, Jordan. So I think the Russian hacking investigation appears to be just as shambolic as the FBI's investigation of Hillary Clinton's email scandal. I think it raises 4 specific questions. First, is the intelligence community competent to judge the effect of Russia's hacking on the U.S. election? Second, it raises the question, where was the Obama administration's outrage when China took millions of personnel records from the federal government and lifted them and sent them to Beijing? third is the intelligence community's assessment of the Russian hacking scandal, as clear as its claim that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And fourth, why does the Obama administration focus on the alleged claim that the Russians tried to help Donald Trump, as opposed to focusing on some of the evidence which disclosed that the DNC emails were designed to hurt Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
So there's a lack of balance with respect to this entire investigation, and that suggests that there's one answer to all four questions, which is it's pure politics all the way down on the part of the Obama administration.
This has been the problem with the respect level of our agencies that are not supposed to be the ones that are politicized. You're not supposed to have a politicized CIA or FBI or Department of Justice or intelligence community or military or, for that matter, I mean, IRS. But we have seen at all levels that the Obama team has politicized everything. So our CIA is politicized, our FBI is politicized, our Department of Justice is politicized, the IRS becomes a political tool of the administration. That is why significant reform must be incorporated and must be done very as quickly as possible, but there will be so much fighting on this. This is Donald Trump's number one fight, is to actually reform these agencies. Let's go to Frank, calling in from Virginia Online since 6. Frank, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing? Bill and the caller before me and the guests that you have on your show pretty much outline almost exactly what I wanted to say. To piggyback on that, I would say I don't care if it was the Russians or a 17-year-old in his mom's basement that hacked these emails. The fact that they're truth and the fact that the media is not even investigating the truth, and to go all the way back to when the subpoena first happened with the Clinton email server, and everyone basically, to use a Madre term, went to the mattresses, destroying all evidence and any information, and not to mention 60,000 more emails that were never even found out to be what was in them. I don't think that the American people are as stupid as the government and with these political parties. Like you said, it's all been politicized. I don't think we're that stupid to not see through that. And I think that was a major reason as to why Clinton was
Frank, remember that her server, the emails we were getting there were being released by the U.S. government because of legal documents, FOIA requests, and investigations. They were some were heavily redacted. Those weren't leaked. Those were not hacked from Hillary Clinton. Those were emails she illegally kept on a private server, did not disclose this private server, said it didn't exist, then had to admit that. I mean, so many of these problems were brought on by herself, and they're not alleging that this had anything to do with that part. So there were a lot of emails being shown around this election cycle. Most of them about Hillary Clinton came from the U.S. government that was having to release them based off FOIAs and lawsuits and legal challenges that were filed. Let me grab as many more calls as we can. Let's go to Carol in Massachusetts online, too. Carol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carol.
My question is, I watched the interview with Sean Hannity and Julian Assange the other night, and I totally believed him. I felt in my spirit that this guy was telling the truth. I do not understand why other people don't get it.
Well, he's Julian Assange. WikiLeaks is, listen, what they do is illegal. I mean, you can sometimes you could say, you know, I'm glad that I got this information, but you have to make sure that they may come after your information next. I mean, they kind of see it as that way. So I think everybody has a right to be cautious with any just broad claims made by Julian Assange without evidence to back it up. And I tend to believe that the Russians weren't as involved as everyone says. I wouldn't just take it from Julian Assange. That's my own opinion. I know that a lot of people, again, they're seeing him in a different way than maybe they did a few years ago. We won't be able to get to Debbie's call. Let's get her Unholy Alliance, so just keep her on the line. We'll have a lot more to talk about tomorrow as well, folks, with what's happening at the Senate with Israel. And also, I think we're going to get more into the confirmation battles next week. We'll get into those discussions with Than, especially when it comes to our next leader of the Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions. Because guess what? A former Attorney General, Eric Holder, has now been hired by California to defend them against Trump administration DOJ. That would be Jeff Sessions. We'll talk about it tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live. Go to ACLJ.org. Have a great day.
This is a very critical time for the state of Israel. In a parting shot, President Obama betrayed Israel by using the UN Security Council in a blatant attempt to abandon Israel. Sign on right now to our petition to defend Israel and stop forced negotiations with terrorists. Add your name right now. You can call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.